That's right. I'm telling you, it's all about evolution. I'm Dr. Gene Mesko here with Mostly Hairless Apes. Moving on with, I promised the Bible, then the suggestions from the Bible. I think the Christian Catholic Bible with its commandments is a little obnoxious. And all I think anybody can do, if you're going to try to suggest something ethical, is say, all right, well, here's a suggestion. Here's something you might try. It's worked for me. And we've been through a little bit of the list already. We talked about understanding your environment. Once you understand where you are in the world, you figure out what's good. You got to decide what's good. And then you got to maximize probabilities in your favor. You just got to take the opportunities when they present themselves. You got to minimize your hazards. And you go on with life. And today, we're taking it to the next level, though. We're acting like we're all going to be adults. And if we're all adults, what you have to do as an adult is stand up for something. That's the fourth suggestion from the Bible, is have a backbone. In the longer version of this, I correlate it with the point in evolution when the chordates evolved. If you don't know who the chordates are the precursors to the vertebrates. The notochord is the first thing that shows up developmentally. The notochord shows up about 530 million years ago in the fossil record. A modern representative would be a beastly little beast called Amphioxus or Branchiostoma. Once again, our scientists argue about naming rights. I learned it as Amphioxus. It's my understanding it's now Branchiostoma. But it's a little critter, and it has a notochord. It did a flip-flop from the invertebrates. The invertebrates grow most of their important stuff, like nerves and guts, along the ventral surface, along the belly. But what happened with the chordates is they flipped some things to the back, specifically the notochord and what's called the neural tube, which eventually will lead to brains. And hopefully everybody's got one of those working. But the notochord is the foundation for the vertebral spinal column. Not the spinal cord, that's the nervous tissue. But the bones and vertebra of the vertebra and the intervertebral discs allow us to stand up. And so you stand up for something. In terms of artificial selection and civilization, you make a choice. You learn what's good, and you follow those rules. That's the thing. We're all subject to our development. And whether or not you're suing your parents for therapy costs or dealing with whatever issues you might have, the idea of having a backbone, standing up for something, goes beyond just doing good. Doing good involves what you think is good. You're just behaving. You've accepted as a civilization that you live in. And every civilization is based on a belief system. We've been over the mechanics of this a little bit, I think. And so you've got a belief system here that says, I have whatever. And you live in that house, in that city, in that town, in that country, and you follow the rules as best you can. But standing up for something is a little different. It's the idea of saying, well, wait a minute. Is that really the right? It's calling bullshit on somebody when it needs to be called. That's the minimum amount of standing up for something. When somebody's doing something that's wrong, that's one way of standing up, saying, hey, I don't think you should be doing that. And obviously, you got to cover your ass. You got to worry about getting the crap beat out of you. All these wonderful scenarios that get played out in art and theater. But we all understand that. You want to maximize probabilities in your favor. You want to do good, but you want to do good aggressively. That's the thing that gives life meaning. This is why standing up for something is really about adulthood, really. I mean, we stand up when we're about two, when we're becoming conscious at beings, when we have the potential to be human from just a Homo sapiens, just a mostly hairless ape. But if we stand up for something, we've learned all these things, we've gone through childhood, we've developed our physical body, we have to deal with whatever health conditions we have. We hit adulthood, hopefully, and we've been prepared by our guardians, our parents, our family, whatever social structure exists for you. And there's so many contributing factors. But you hit adulthood, and adulthood is where you get certified. That's where you get to change over. You get to help influence things. And so now, whereas you've been following the rules, you got to decide if there are rules that need to be broken, if you need to write new rules, if you need to figure out how to change something, or do you need, or you, or is something going on that's so great you just want to support it? And if you think everything is perfect as is and you want to promote the status quo, that's not a bad place to be. It's pretty comfortable if things are working out pretty well. We need people to maintain as well as adapt and grow, because you got to keep the system going when it's complex. So here's the deal. What do you stand for? When you stand up for something, it's a case of declaring. You have to shout out loud. What is it I'm going to stand for? What is that? For me, this is why I'm doing this. I've hit a point. I've retired. I've been teaching biology for decades. And I realized evolution has this marvelous story to tell. This explanation for who we are and what we are. And the fact that we can do this thing called artificial selection, that we have free will. If you don't believe we have free will, I don't know where else to go with you. That's mental masturbation, to go beyond that point. Yeah, it's fine for a cocktail party, or maybe even a philosophical journal. But the point being, if we don't have free will, nothing matters. There's no significance to anything. But if I have the ability to influence events, if I have some ability to think and say, wait a minute, pause, take a second, not just react to my biochemistry. Perhaps there is something inside of me, be it a soul, a chi, a neurochemical avatar in a neural circuit, whatever it is, we don't know. Someday we'll figure out what consciousness is. We're not there yet. But when we figure out consciousness, consciousness is going to be this structure that gives us free will. It doesn't have any meaning otherwise. It gives us this entity of self. I'm aware of my environment. I understand my environment. I've been following the rules. And now I want to do good. I want to say, well, what's good about the life around me and what's not good? And that's what you should stand up for. You should say, I'm going to support this or I'm going to attack that. Whatever it might be. I don't know. What's it for me? For me, it's ignorance. This very process of civilization, which we just don't appreciate. I haven't been a very good rule follower in my life. Certain rules. I've been married to my wife for 42 years. We're as far as she knows, I've been ultimately fidel at high fidelity. That one will come back and bite me in the ass. Oh yeah. But the point being, I've been married for 42 years, and I've had a partner who supports me, and so I know where I stand with her. I know where I stand with my kids. The three out of four still talk to me, so I'm good. But that's life. You know, I was a parent for years, and I'm a grandparent now. It's so cool having a buffer. That's one of those things that makes you mature. When you stand up as an adult, it's a really nice situation. If you still have adults in your social network, whatever it is, hopefully parents, grandparents, but they're buffers between you and the grave. Once again, we're all going to die. No illusions here. There may be an afterlife, but nobody's got any evidence. So we don't include that in our ethical decisions. And that's what we're trying to do here with the Biobol. We're trying to make new ethical decisions. And so the only ethics that we should discuss socially and civilly is what's going on Earth. That's all we can prove, is that we have existence. We understand our environment. Some of us understand the issues with climate change. Other people refuse to look at the data. And that's a separate issue. And eventually, hopefully, we'll get to the point where only people who are reasonable enough to look at established data and evidence and reason and deal with reason and logic are the people who get to vote. We're obviously not there yet. We unleash this demon of democracy, and that's what they realize. That's what somebody back in the 70s and 80s, the Powell memo, that's a good one. Have you ever heard of that one? The Powell memo he wasn't a Supreme Court justice at the time, but it was back in the late 60s, early 70s. And it's what set us on the way to Ronnie Reagan and trickle-down economics and all the bullshit we've had, and all the way to the terrible tangerine. Because we had a choice years ago. Here's my interpretation of what we've been doing, my understanding of the environment. Because I was raised during the Cold War. I was born in 1960. 1960 was the Cold War. James Bond was just coming out. You know, we weren't in Vietnam yet. We hadn't had that slap in the face as a country. We were still riding high. we were great. Make America Great Again is all about the fact that we had this marvelous perspective that some of us were doing really well back in 1960. We finished World War II as the last major standing economy. So we had about a 20-year run, about 18 to be precise, from 1945 when we nuked Japan. And everybody said, okay, that's enough of that stuff. And we moved into the atomic age. Then we moved into the Cold War because we said, oh, we had mutually assured destruction. So we had this weird idea of the nuclear weapons and spies and the Cold War. That was my development. And I thought about joining the Navy, too. I did my very minimal involvement with that and said, wait a minute, I don't want to nuke people. I don't want to bomb people. I kind of like what's going on. I like civilization. I like traveling. I like seeing stuff. I like trying different foods, listening to different music. Why do we want to blow people up? Why are we killing all these other people? Those are the questions I remember asking because I was raised Roman Catholic. And as fucked up as the Catholic Church is, down at the core, the troopers in the Catholic Church, the nuns and the priests and the true believers of the interpretation that I got in the 1960s growing up, going to Catholic school for 12 years, was that, oh, wait a minute, we're supposed to do good in the world. You're supposed to make the world a little better. That's what I got. If I got nothing else from my education, I got all the mechanics. I got the three R's. I got an interest in science somewhere along the way. But I was also given this idea of morality and ethics. The idea that, oh, a group should exist to make everybody's life better. That's the best reason why we should deal with each other. Why else do you deal with assholes? Why else do you deal with people who are pains in the ass? Because we want to make the world a better place. And we know there's idiots out there. And so now the question becomes, well, what's a better way? What's a better way to do things? What's a good way to do things? What are we doing right now that's good? Well, that's the whole thing. You should be doing good based on your environment. People told you this was good, and you either bought into it or you didn't. And this is all, and that's what Stand Up for Something is about. This is where the fourth suggestion is about. The fourth suggestion is, do good, go out, but stand up for something. Say, this, I think this one's really important, and this needs to stay the same, or this needs to change. Because if you don't have a solution, don't waste our time saying, oh, that's a problem. That's the true mark of maturity. I think somewhere way down in the future, I would like to belong to a civilization where one of the criteria for adulthood was that you actually published something or created a significant work of art. I'll say a professional work of art. You make enough of a work of art that it pays you enough to live for a year. That you could work for a year on a project and have a year of work to do. And conversely, because I think that's about how long it takes to get a good science paper out. If you want to prove something scientifically these days, it'll probably take a year of your life, depending on where you're working and what resources you have available to. Could be shorter in both cases, for art or science. But if we're not making something that's truthful or beautiful, what's the point? That's how we're going to measure adulthood. If you're not making something truthful or beautiful, that we know there's problems. We all have problems. We're all doing the best we can. That's the concession of life. That's why we got rid of the rich people. That's why we're going to have another revolution down the road where we get rid of rich people, because rich people suck. Rich people don't follow the rules. Whatever rules we have, rich people don't have to listen to them. That's the best thing about being rich. If you have enough money to make your own rules, why should you listen to anybody else's? If you have so much excess cash that you can give it to somebody and say, oh, sorry, I broke that. I remember a story from a few years ago about, you always hear about LA traffic. And a celebrity, you would know his name, you might know this incident. I'll not mention his name here, but other than that, he was a guy, since I've said he already. But we all know about violence in males versus females. And he was in the LA traffic, stopped on the freeway, and somebody kept honking their horns, as the story goes. And he luckily had his golf bag in his trunk, and he got a 5-iron out or something similar, and proceeded to shred the guy's windshield. And you could do that when you're a Hollywood celebrity worth millions of dollars because you have enough money. And that's a silly enough incident that we all kind of just go, yeah, I wish I had, $20,000 or whatever. Because if a guy took him to court, he might, I don't know. I don't know how that would have played out. But you don't engage in that activity unless you're willing to burn at the least tens of thousands of dollars. Because a new windshield's $1,000 right there. And I've had to do that recently. And so, I mean, that just repairing the damage is one thing. But then inconveniencing the guy, scaring the shit out of the driver, whatever else was going on. You sue for damages, psychological trauma, all that fun stuff. But that's the whole point. We have rules to say you shouldn't do that. That's a crime, what happened. But because he was a celebrity, and nobody got hurt, and then he paid for all the damages, we all say, oh, because that's the deal in our capitalist society, too. If you have the money, you get to make the rules. And that's the fundamental point. That's actually where I want to stand up for. That's what I think is good, is revealing to you what I think is a really basic hypothesis. I think, as I've talked about for so many times now, that we're undergoing evolutionary selection. Artificial selection is based on consciousness, and ultimately it depends on what we believe in, and that a civilization is nothing more than a group of people who share the same belief system, so much so that the belief allows them to make rules about government and the economy. Because that's all there is. The economy is how we distribute resources, the government is how we deal with each other, and what's acceptable in behavior in either realm is ultimately going to be based on what we think is right and wrong, what we think is good and evil. However you want to phrase that axis, that a given action is a plus or a minus on any given scale. And that's the challenge that I'm putting out there, is to say every social system, every social science can now use this to calibrate their systems. Because you could look at it and say, hey, that's a belief, or that's an economic issue. And you could look at the parties involved and say, is it a plus or a minus event? And once you have it on a plus or minus axis, we can start calibrating things. That's the problem with the social sciences. We don't have any fucking calibration. I have physical size in the world. The natural sciences are dealing with reality. That's the natural sciences. The social sciences are dealing with humans, with consciousness, with ideas. What the fuck's an idea? Well, I think there are three classes of ideas. There are ideas about belief, which is ideas that are based on information that I don't have any evidence for, other than accumulated history. There's no physical evidence. There's nothing that would stand up in a court of law, nothing that would allow you to publish in a scientific journal, a natural science journal, that would say, this is real. This is something that happens. And subsequently, it's belief. Or it's an economic issue. This is the market. Whatever market you're dealing with, the market says, this is what this costs, this is what this is worth, and it impacts when they sell this or buy this, I gain or lose. It's a good deal for me or it's a bad deal for me. I'm paying out for energy because fucking climate change is making the planet warmer, so I need to run the air conditioning longer, so I have to send more money to the power company to run my air conditioner. If I have air conditioning, that's really great. But it's a cost, and it's a cost-benefit analysis. That's the beauty of embracing evolution as our model, as our explanation for life on Earth. It goes away with whims of gods. We don't know what the fucking gods are doing. Nobody knows what the gods are doing. So get over it. You can't prove any of them exist in the first place. But why do we have gods? Because people came up with the idea that we needed rules. And I couldn't convince you that we needed rules, so I needed a god to scare you. And that's what gods do. They scare us with images of heaven and hell, and we won't get to one, and we'll have to go to the other. And there's going to be this horrible afterlife, and there's all these repercussions. What if we behaved? What if we were doing good because we just thought, oh, it's good for other reasons? Like, a fundamental belief of doing good for me is that humans, as a species, should try to avoid extinction. We should try from killing each other. Because here's the deal. If we stay alive, then we win the game of life. We're not going extinct. We will not go gently into that good night. Thank you, Bill Pullman. and we move out, and maybe we diversify. Maybe eventually we evolve into multiple species. Maybe Homo sapiens becomes Homo terrestrial versus Homo sedentarius. Maybe we live in the Babaverse. Oh, but I don't know. I don't know where it's going, but that's the whole point. I'd like to know. I'd like to help people push us that way. That's the tapestry I want to weave in life. That's what I think is good, is that we survive and we live another day. And along with that, that means we should bring along the rest of our biological baggage as much as possible. Maybe we take out mosquitoes. I don't know. I think we modify the ecosystem. We gardenify the earth. We decide what's going to live and what's going to die. We do it anyway. We do it haphazardly right now. So I think it's a neutral point for the next year until we get to next April 1st. And we can pick another foolish objective to try and follow. But I think we should try to stabilize life on Earth. That should be our goal until we've stabilized life on Earth. If we hit April 1st and we haven't stabilized life on Earth, then we should just say, oh, all right, we got to go back and try and do that. And what do I mean by stabilized life on Earth? I mean, as far as humanity goes, we take all the people that are alive and we work on communicating with them this idea that we want to sustain life on Earth. And in order to sustain human life on Earth, what we would like to do is say, we think the most reasonable course of action, the best good for you, is to reproduce at a rate that allows you to optimize the development of your offspring. So we tell people, don't just fucking crank out babies. As fun as sex is, orgasms, libido, we'll talk about it later. But the whole point of sex is to reproduce. And if you're not paying attention while you reproduce, which is why we're so fucking neurotic about it, because if you have too many children, you have too many mouths to feed. There's too many resources that have to go into taking care of those children. We have to educate them. They're not freaking useful on average for 20 years. That's why development needs to be part of the society that we have. And so you know, part of sustaining humanity then is to develop civilizations that have stable networks for the development of children so that we can all be functional adults. Who are functional adults? Well, basically the professionals. A professional is someone who has some specialized knowledge or skills that are enough to make them to provide for their livelihood, to keep them alive. If you're not paying your own way, you're really not an adult. Because whatever else we want to say, that's the economy. The economy is resources. There's no free ride. There's no free lunch. As much as people say, you got to get out there and do something. And if you're willing to do something, we should be willing to pay you at a living wage. And that should be the criteria for payment. Not entertainment value, not whatever the owners of all the banks say, whatever all the rich people fucking say. We'll get to them later. Just how do we maintain optimal development? Everybody should have access to medical care and education and housing and some opportunities for development so that they can see the world. They can understand that they're part of this amazing evolutionary experience that we're all on and that their job is to understand their environment, to understand what's good, and eventually go out there and stand up for something and drive evolution however they see fit. That's the beauty of competition. And competition should only be at that level of intellectual. We should get rid of the physical competition. We waste so many resources shooting at each other and blowing each other up. Think about all the fucking trillions of dollars we've spent blowing each other up and shooting at each other and all of that crap. And how many houses we could build, how many children we could feed, how many schools we could build, how many laboratories we could build, how many artist studios. Think of all the frickin' crap we could build with the money that's spent on fucking bombers and nuclear weapons and all of that bullshit. Oh my fucking God. Zolzar the Almighty would be offended. Because that's what's doing good. It's fucking, I'm a hippie, I guess. And the only thing that made sense to me from the 60s was the hippies. They were making sense. They'd been laughed out of the realm. But their job, fucking John Lennon and everybody else, I started this with revolution. Because to me, that's good. You gotta fucking question authority. That's the suggestion for later. But we gotta question authority and say, wait a minute. How can I do good here? What is this good? What you're doing is not good. Half the shit that the terrible Tangerine is doing is not good. He's just picking on people just so he can fucking skim money and sell Bitcoin and whatever the fuck else he's doing to make money. Because that's part of the pathology. The pathology that cash is a be-all and end-all. We all know this. You talk to anybody, you talk to a rational human, and you go, yeah, happiness isn't about money. You can't buy happiness, all this stuff. Well, but you got to have the basics. If you're not taking care of stuff, if you're not making enough money at a reasonable rate, if you got to work fucking two shifts and put the kids in daycare and you're not able to see them, what the fuck's the point? We should be taking care of each other. We should be looking out for each other. And helping each other grow and solve problems. That's all we should be doing. Every year should be a problem. If we haven't stabilized the earth, then get back to work. Jeez, do some good.